Today is the second day of Teves. It's the seventh day of Hanukkah. And the Shiur for the Tanya is in Perek Daled, chapter 4. In the lessons in Tanya's book, Sefer, it's on page 83. The Rebbe, earlier in the chapter, explained how although the garments of the soul are secondary to the soul itself, to the powers of the soul, and that's why they are called garments, and in any case, a garment is infinitely lower and less significant than the wearer of the garment, yet in the case of the godly soul, the garments of the soul have an advantage, have a quality that is infinitely higher than the soul itself, than the seichel and the middos of the neshama. And that is, that through the garments, the neshama gets to do Torah and mitzvahs. And Torah is one with God, because Torah is God's wisdom and God's will. The Torah, the teachings of Torah, is God's wisdom, and the mitzvahs are God's will. So in doing the Torah and the mitzvahs, the neshama becomes connected to God in a way that it could not be connected while it was in heaven without the garments. And so the level of godliness, which is described as less machshava tvisa beklau, that no thought can comprehend him at all, and he is beyond knowing, all of it becomes knowable to the neshama while it's in the body and has garments through the Torah. Because in Torah, God contracts his will and his wisdom, compresses his will and wisdom into the Torah, without giving up and without filtering out any part of his infinite will and infinite wisdom. It is all contained and compressed in the Torah. So that instead of being unknowable, less machshava tvisa bei, he becomes knowable and reachable to every machshava, to everyone, every neshama on earth. And this is due to the three garments. Without the garments of thought, speech, and deed, through which the neshama can do Torah and mitzvahs, the neshama would not be able to come in contact with this godliness that is available only in Torah, that makes the unknowable knowable. Now in today's Shia. Lo chenim shala Torah l'mayim. And that's why Torah is compared to water. Ma mayim yedim emokim gveya l'mokim namuch. Just as water flows from a higher place to a lower place. Kacha Torah yorda mimokim kveida. In the same way, Torah comes down from its high place. Now, the reason that the Torah is compared to water and not to seichel, intelligence also flows from a higher place to a lower place, from the teacher to the student, from the one who knows to the one who doesn't know. But there, when the seichel flows from the higher level to the lower level, it flows through a filter. That seichel which reaches the student is not the same. It's not the complete seichel as it was in the teacher. Because if the student could understand the seichel exactly as it is in the teacher, then he wouldn't be the student and the teacher wouldn't be the teacher. They would be equal. So the student is capable of understanding only the external or the lower part of the seichel. The inner, deeper part of the seichel remains in the teacher. And coming down, in this case, means filtering. Whereas the Torah, when it comes down, when God's will and wisdom come down into Torah, or as Torah comes down into this world, it comes down unchanged, unfiltered, exactly as it was in heaven above, it is here on earth below. And for that, the analogy is water. Exactly the same water that was on top of the hill flows down to the bottom of the hill. It's not a filtering process. And the same is true with Torah, that it came down in Mokim Kveida. Torah comes down from its high place of glory. Shehi. What is this original place of glory being God's wisdom and God's will? These were the conditions of the Torah. As it was above in heaven, it was God's will and God's wisdom. It was one with God, and there was no thought in creation that can comprehend him. And just as he was not comprehensible, so also were his will and wisdom beyond every thought. Not just human thought. Beyond the thoughts even of the highest creatures, of angels and seraphim and so on. Umisham, and from that position, from that level, Nosa v'yarda, it traveled and descended. The Seisar HaMadreges, through the various levels. From level to level in the chain of worlds, it came through a chain of worlds, and in each world there are many levels, and so the Torah comes down through all of these stages until it is clothed in physical things and matters of this world, of the physical world. Shehein, Zeiv, Mitzvah, Sateira, Kekulam, Vehilcheseyam. The vast majority, practically all of the mitzvahs, are connected or expressed in a physical object. The leather of the tefillin, the wool of the tzitzis, and so on. Ubitzrufeyesiyas, Gashmiyas, Bidyaya, Seife, godliness came down. Not only in the physical object with which we do the mitzvah, but also in the physical object of the Torah, meaning the physical ink on the parchment. In the letters of the 24 books that make up the written Torah, which is the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim, that holiness also contains godliness, and all of this is in order that every thought, everyone's thought, should be able to grasp godliness, God's will and God's wisdom. Not only does every thought become capable of grasping godliness in Torah, but even the other garments, besides thought, lower than thought, the garments of speech and deed, even they can grasp godliness. Now that God came down in Torah and mitzvahs, thought now is capable of comprehending or grasping godliness in the study of Torah, and speech and deed can also grasp godliness in the performance of the mitzvah. What this means is that godliness is infinite, and any conditions, any restrictions that we place on God are necessarily human restrictions that are inappropriate and inapplicable to God. So that when we say that God is knowable by geniuses, by philosophers, by prophets, then we are giving a definition to godliness that restricts him to the same conditions and to the same values as we are restricted by. To us, seichel is higher than action. And therefore, a great sage, someone who is extremely brilliant, will have the talent and the capacity to explain even a deep concept to a simple person, and maybe even to a child. The greatness of Shlomo HaMelech was that for everything he could find 300 examples. And 300 examples means that each example was lower, more of an example than the preceding one. So he was able to bring down what he understood 300 levels. And that's because he understood it that well. Because he perceived the essence of the idea so clearly that he was able to dress it and clothe it into all sorts of garments, even the lowest garment, which is understandable to a child. However, Shlomo HaMelech was the wisest man on earth, but wisdom has its limit. Wisdom is finite. And that's why, although he could explain his concept to even a child, but he was not able to explain his concept to a tree, to a stone, or to the child's hand rather than to his mind. Because Seichel has this restriction. Seichel only goes where Seichel exists. It can be a greater Seichel, a lower Seichel, but it can't go into a stone. So that his concept, his understanding, what he was thinking, could be knowable only to someone who is also capable of thinking. But that's the restriction of a human being. God's thoughts are not limited in that way. And God's will is certainly not limited in that way. And therefore, what God wants can be expressed not only in words, not only in thought, not only from one intelligent being to another, but it can be expressed even in the act, in a stone, in a dollar bill with which we do a mitzvah. And because the Torah and the mitzvahs clothe, envelop all the 10 powers of the soul, the whole tayageva medesha v'adraglo, and all 613 parts from its head to its foot, so to speak. Hare kula tzrura b'tzer hachayim es Hashem mamash. The result is that the entire neshama is wrapped up in the bond of life, in the place of life, which is God Himself. What does it mean that a person can grasp godliness? So he says that grasping godliness means that he becomes enveloped in godliness from his head, the neshama, from the head of the neshama to the foot of the neshama, while at the same time that he is grasping godliness, in that he is surrounded by godliness, he is also at the same time surrounding the godliness and enveloping it within himself, as the Rebbe will soon explain. Kamesha Kosuv, Tzudi Echasebei, Uksiv, Katsina, Rotzin, Tatrenu. We find how godliness is described as a rock of refuge, something you hide in to protect yourself, and as it says, as a shield, God's will surrounds him. So again, we find how God's will, God's rotzen, serves as a garment that surrounds, envelops the person, and he is wrapped up within godliness. Shehu ritzei nevechach mosei yizbazeich hamelubashim b'teirosei u'mitzveiseha. Which will are we talking about that surrounds the person, envelops the person? It is the will of God and the wisdom of God as they are expressed and clothed in Torah and in mitzvahs. When God contracts himself, condenses himself, his will and his wisdom, into Torah and mitzvahs, then when the person does the mitzvah or studies the Torah, he immerses himself and he becomes wrapped up in godliness, from the top to the bottom. Because through the three garments, if there was only thought, the one garment of thought, which is the highest garment, then only a part of the neshama would be wrapped up in the godliness of Torah, which is that part of God that without Torah is unknowable, unfathomable. But because there are three garments, including also the garment of action, the lowest garment, because of that, the entire neshama, from its head to its foot, can be enveloped in godliness through the doing of the mitzvahs. And although it's already well known that the important thing is the action, Seif Maisa B'machshava Tchila, that the important thing is that we have to do what Torah wants us to do and what we are sent to do, but here the Alter Rebbe is explaining that the value and the virtue of the doing is not only in that it is what God ultimately wants, but that in doing what God wants, we are coming closer to God, it is a deeper bond and a deeper cleaving to God than through the seichel, through the understanding, as he'll explain further in tomorrow's shiur. In the Hayem Yem for the second day of Teves, which is also the seventh day of Hanukkah, the Rebbe writes that Melchemes HaYevonim Hoysa, the battle, the war that the Yevonim, the Greeks, waged against the Jews, was not so much a physical battle, but rather LaHashkicham Teilasecha ULaHavirei Mechukei Ritzeinecha, to make them forget your Torah and to lead them away from your will. And as it says in Bereishis Rabba, Perek Tezayin, Kisru, etc., they ask the Jews to write and proclaim that they have no part, She'ein lachem chelek b'elekei Yisrael, that you have no portion, no part in the God of Israel. Which means that kol hamulchama ha'isa neged elekus, the battle and the war was against godliness, against God. Zomen lenin and teza, zomen mekayim zayin mitzus, Hamishpotim v'ha'edus. They didn't mind that Jews should learn Torah. They didn't mind that Jews should fulfill those mitzvahs that are mishpotim and edus. The mishpotim are the mitzvahs that have obvious reasons. Edus are the testimonials. Zak shalei lahaski shehi teiras Hashem. But not to mention that this is God's Torah. V'shaham mitzvahs heim chukei ritzeinei yizbarech. And that the mitzvahs that we are fulfilling are the dictates of God's will. Not to mention, in the act of studying Torah and in the act of doing the mitzvahs, not to mention the subject of godliness. And unfortunately, this is a situation or a condition that exists among certain groups who study Torah and do mitzvahs, but refuse to bring in godliness and to mention godliness in their Yiddishkeit.